Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
So we've started with the baseball both hours. We'll start with the football. MetLife Stadium yesterday, the Giants doing a lot defensively as part of their win over the Chargers.
Herbert from the shotgun. Looks right. Fires it right. Batted at the line. Intercepted by Dexter Lawrence. He's running down the left side to the 15. 10, 5, and he's knocked down at the 1 by Herbert. Sexy Dexter Lawrence with his first career interception, and the Giants will have it first and goal at the 1.
That's Bob Papa with the call. Right,
can we get the ball across the goal line, please?
Almost.
I mean, no, it was great. Almost. It was a great play by Dexter Lawrence. You know, it was interesting. Glad he didn't get hurt because he left his feet, came down with the ball, and was running with it. I was looking at some of the injuries that the Giants have suffered since 2020. So Malik Nabers, of course, it looks like it's going to be an ACL tear. We're not sure. Andrew Thomas had the foot. Wandell Robinson had an ACL tear. Sterling Shepard had an ACL tear. Aaron Robinson had an ACL tear. Julian Beavers had an ACL tear. Joshua Azudu had an ACL tear. Marcus McKeithen had an ACL tear. Adoree Jackson, MCL sprain. Richie James, ACL tear.
Same field, Aaron Rodgers, Achilles rupture.
Well, then, yeah, you have the Jets, you have Aaron Rodgers with the Achilles. Al Woods had the Achilles tear there. You had Mekhi Becton had what they called a compartment syndrome in the lower leg injury. James Robinson, running back, had an ACL tear. The thing is that I know that the NFL has gone to great lengths to try to get that field right. They use that field as like a lot of other fields around the league. You know, they all kind of use the same, you know, field. I don't know what's going on over there at MetLife Stadium. The only argument that I would have from a player standpoint is that if you could put grass in there for those damn soccer players, you could put it in there for the football players.
Yep.
And maybe that lessens the amount of injuries. And I do know a number of teams have come in here, and there have been a lot of guys that have gotten hurt on that field. Nick Bosa being one of them, Jalen Phillips being another, and then yesterday, Joe Alt.
Yeah, I don't know if you mentioned it, but also Dick Gazinha had that ACL at MetLife as well. That was a rough one.
Good job on your part, bringing that one up.
He ever come back?
No, he did not, unfortunately.
Retired.
But he's got a brother, Jason Gazinha, who was trying to continue the Gazinha legacy.
Well, you could say whatever you want about the Gazinhas. All I can tell you is that there are a lot of people that are pissed that their Giants keep getting hurt.
Jerry.
The Giant fans had a lot of Gazinhas over the last 10 years. Here is Brian Daboll. Nice to get this one, 21-18.
Look, it's good to get a win. I'm happy for our players. I'm happy for our coaches. They put a lot of time and effort and energy into us. Jackson has, you know, all quarterbacks do. But, you know, for a young player to come out here in his first game against a 3-0 team with Herbert as quarterback and the defense, you know, the way they were playing, I think it says a lot about our guys. I think it says a lot about
and Daboll talking about the defense. Well, so is Justin Herbert, who says, you know, give those guys a lot of credit.
They're really good. You know, we knew that going into it, and, you know, we just didn't execute. And, you know, that's the tough part about the NFL. You're going to get a lot of good guys that you're going up against. And, you know, we didn't play the way we needed to today.
A little concern, too, with the way Herbert's been hit the last couple of weeks is head coach Jim Harbaugh.
Very concerning. We'll go back and look, and we got to get better. We got to put him in a better position. Don't think he's been in a good position.
And there's the Brian Burns sack that, I mean, that was a huge play in the fourth quarter.
They lost their left tackle. You know, Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Isn't it next man up, though?
Yeah, I mean, that's the Giants, but the Giants have dealt with that.
I know. I'm just trying to compliment Brian Burns. That's all. He did a nice job. Big sack in a big spot.
He was all over the place.
Yes, he was. Here was Jackson Dart, tough with the neighbor's injury.
From that moment, you know, obviously it's really hard seeing, you know, one of your best friends go down. But we were able to rally, and I thought guys made some good plays. But, you know, obviously just prayers to him.
And when, I imagine at some point today we'll find out. I guess Brian Daboll will meet the media early this afternoon. We'll see if there's an actual diagnosis and what they plan to do or not do. Because of it, the Giants will be in New Orleans on Sunday. All right, some other stuff from the NFL. The Sunday night game, Cowboys and Packers played to a 40-40 tie. Micah Parsons, the former Cowboy, now turned Packer, says not good enough.
I'm pissed off, you know. I'm very disappointed just overall how we performed. You know, I even told Jordan to the side, you know, thank you for having our back today.
Meaning the defense, because they gave up a lot of points. Here was Dak. He says ties kind of suck.
I don't care about the stats. I don't care about the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows. I just care about the end result and the win. And so when you don't get that, right now it's tough for me. You know, guess 10 years in, the first tie I've been a part of, it's hard to kind of wrap my head around it.
Because yeah, it's not a win.
I'll tell you what, he's been playing great, too.
Yes, he has. He has. Even in Chicago, he played well. Yeah, I agree.
No, he has no chance because the defense is brutal.
Killing them. 900 yards of offense in that game combined last night.
You know, that was shocking when it came to the Packers. I think that's what Michael was talking about, because they looked like they were great week one against Detroit. And then all of a sudden they've kind of fallen. Well, they didn't fall apart last week, but they did end up giving up a 10-point lead last week on the road to Cleveland. So yeah. This is, I mean, tie sucks, but I don't know what happened to their defense.
Chiefs beat the Ravens 37-20. You also had Lamar Jackson leave this game with an injury. John Harbaugh, not many answers here post-game.
I don't have any really updates on seriousness of injuries right now. There's nothing that looks like it's season-ending by any stretch for anybody, any of those guys. But we'll have to look at those injuries tomorrow and see where we're at going forward.
That could be a problem if he can't play. Cooper Rush came in at quarterback for Baltimore, who have really struggled here to start against good teams.
You're going to go from Lamar Jackson to Cooper Rush?
Well, that's who they have.
Yeah, and their defense has been shredded. I mean, this is one of those teams where you didn't expect it to look like this. I thought they were the best team in the league coming into the season.
They still may be. They could be. Still a lot of time. Now, Rams-Colts. Indianapolis lost 27-20, but they had an opportunity to go up 10. And here was a play that really caught the announcer by surprise, too. And I think everybody watching.
Shotgun snap for the quarterback. Looks left. Fires down on the left sideline. And it is a catch. A.D. Mitchell. There he goes. Inside the 30. Down the far sideline. He's got 10. The officials talking to one another at the goal line. The play happened furthest away from us as A.D. Mitchell had a great adjustment on the ball and then streaked down the far sideline.
He lost the ball.
I don't know whether he was getting ready to celebrate or anything, but he was trying to transfer the ball from his left hand to his right hand, and it kind of slipped out of his right hand. It wasn't like he was holding it out or anything.
And he wasn't doing any dance. He just dropped the ball.
He just dropped it, which is really, I mean, because Daniel Jones was in the middle of a great game again.
They wound up losing that game. That was a bizarre play, and so the Colts lose for the first time. And the Eagles held off the Bucs 31-25. Along the way, they lined up for their patented tush-push, but the Eagles' little trickery here on Tampa.
Barkley is back in the game. They're going to tush-push. Hurts. Fakes.
Thanks, though.
He's going to run.
I don't think so.
And he's going to score. It's Barkley.
They fake the tush-push. They give it to Barkley.
And he's in for the touchdown.
Around the outside on the left. And he goes in.
Yes, he does.
Unscathed.
Eagles radio with the call. Part of a 31-25 win as the Eagles are now 20-1 in their last 21 games. Bucks made a little bit of a comeback in this game, but couldn't get all the way back as Baker Mayfield was intercepted. In the end zone, Jalen Hurts.
You know what? Saquon Barkley only 43 yards rushing yesterday.
And they're still
winning. I wouldn't say they have not really had much of an offensive output. You know what I mean?
And like, still 4-0.
And they're still, it's crazy, but the special teams are scoring touchdowns.
Pretty good.
Another block for a touchdown yesterday.
Of course, the Jets take on the Dolphins coming up later tonight.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
So, unfortunately, we just got the worst fears confirmed for Giant fans, and that is, in fact, this is according to Adam Schefter, that Malik Nabers tore his ACL on Sunday after an MRI confirmed that, so he is done for a while. In studio to help us talk about that and more about the Giants and the NFL, Larry Fitzgerald. Larry, thanks for coming by. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. I really appreciate you guys having me this morning. Well, and to all the fans out there, sorry to hear about Malik.
Yeah, so, all right, so help us, take us through. You played on that field. A lot is being made of it. I know Odell Beckham Jr. tweeted something about it. People talked about it for years. Is there something in your mind, Larry, that's different about the MetLife turf versus elsewhere, why these guys keep getting hurt?
You know, honestly, I only played at MetLife three times, I think, and I never had any issues with the turf. I mean, it was good, solid turf. But I think as a fan, you have to take in consideration that MetLife hosts two National Football League teams, and they probably, out of all the stadiums in the country, probably do the most concerts and other extracurricular activities. So for them to have a grass surface stadium would be very difficult, as much as they're moving it in and out, and you don't want grass with seams and poor grass is no good either. I mean, so I really feel like their options are pretty difficult.
They tried that years ago, Larry. I was at the game, the Jets-Giants game, the preseason game, when the third one was pretty important, as you remember, and Jason Sehorn ripped up his knee. They put the trays on the old Meadowlands field, yep. So it's just not feasible. What kind of recovery, even with modern medicine, is he looking back and where he can really trust his cuts and his body 100%. What's he looking at here?
Yeah, I mean, if he goes to, say, Dr. Neil Alatraj out in L.A. and gets his knee done, I mean, he's done, you know, Tom Brady, he did Odell Beckham's, he's done Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's done a lot of the Kobe Bryant, Kobe back from his Achilles injury.
Okay.
Like, he goes to, like, one of the best doctors, I say nine months. He'd be ready to be able to get back and compete for
really?
Training camp.
No restrictions? So, like, week one next year, everything's good? He's going to be Malik Nabers?
He's 22 years old. Yeah. Long as he follows protocol and he's, like, diligent about doing what he needs to do to get himself ready, like, he should be back for training camp.
How much worse, just out of curiosity, is an ACL compared to an Achilles? We all think the Achilles is a million times worse. Is it really, truly that much worse?
It's the kiss of death, especially for a skill player. You just lose that pop and that ability to accelerate and quick change of direction. You can do it, but it's not the same. The ACL now is kind of, I mean, you know, most guys are able to come back and perform at a really high level. You think about the guys who've done it, and they're able to come back and perform.
Good. Okay.
How were you able to stay so healthy throughout your entire NFL career, which should be soon a Hall of Fame career here? You were able to be durable, though, as well. How was that the case for, 17 years?
Yeah, I don't think players talk often enough about luck. And there's luck associated with everything. And then there's bad luck associated with some things, like the Mets. That's just bad. I'm just saying, that's just bad luck.
Tell him, baby.
With that payroll, you should be guaranteed a playoff spot. No, I'm sorry. I'm just saying. I'm just keeping it 100, though. And, like, you know, there's situations I was in that I got very fortunate that the diagnosis wasn't worse, right? And so, like, I definitely worked hard and I prepared. I did everything. But, you know, I just was fortunate.
How about from the Giants' perspective overall, the energy that they had yesterday for the first time in quite some time?
Sounded good.
Place was insane. Like, we haven't seen that. It was half Chiefs fans the night before for years. It's been dead, flying planes over. So it was great to have that energy. Rookie quarterback Jackson Dart making his starting debut, and then to have that injury to Nabers. How do they overcome that in that locker room to kind of build on that positive momentum now?
Well, you can't replace his production. You can't replace it. But they got some young, talented players. I will continue to get Scatterboo the ball, find innovative ways to get him in the screen game, in the passing game. The guy's electric. He's hard-nosed. He's physical. I mean, he runs like Brandon Jacobs back in the day. I mean, the guy is a bruiser. But has the ability to catch it out the backfield as well. You know, he should be Jackson's favorite, you know, toy, you know, to be playing with. But it just sucks that he doesn't have the, you know, his most dynamic offensive weapon. But I think they have a legitimate shot of being able to compete. I mean, right now the Commanders are reeling a little bit. They don't have, you know, all their guys healthy. Obviously the Eagles are really good. The Cowboys offensively last night look like a juggernaut. Defensively looked a little rough. I think they can make some noise, and I really like Jackson. I like them in the preseason, and it's nice to be able to see him get a shot to lead.
You played on some really good teams, played on a lot of bad teams, quarterbacks, you know, you've seen it all. How dispiriting is it? Because Sal just said it did sound different. Like MetLife looked, it just popped. It felt like the old Giants, at least for a day, and Dart definitely showed real promise. But when you're on a team and you know the quarterback ain't it, not that he's a scrub, but he's just not a next level guy. How tough is that on the whole franchise? It's got to swallow everything up negatively, no?
No, I mean, you're a professional. Like, this is what your job is, right? And it's your job to be able to overcome the, you know, the disadvantages or the obstacles that you have to face. Like, you don't want those thoughts to be permeating throughout your mind, right? The ball comes my way. It doesn't matter if you're throwing it to me, Kurt Warner's throwing it to me, Eli Manning's throwing it to me, I'm going to catch it.
Mm.
Like, I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be. And like, that's the kind of mentality you have to take. You know, you're doing a job that you dreamed about doing. You're making a king's ransom doing it.
Yep.
I mean, like, let's not forget the opportunity.
Yeah, you know? But that's you, and you weren't only a special player, you're a special person. So think about the divas at the wide receiver position. What you're saying, I know that you lived your life that way. Is everybody else? I mean, it's got to bring.
Well, we can use an example like this. A.J. Brown, we can both all agree he's a top five receiver in the National Football League. His numbers do not show that.
No.
I don't see him complaining. I don't see him slamming helmets on the sidelines. His fingerprints are on the outcome of those games by the coverage he takes away when the big runs happen.
Yeah.
And, like, is he capable of going for 1,500? Absolutely. He is that dynamic of a player. But the system that they're running right now, it just doesn't allow him to make those plays and have those same contributions. And so, like, there are guys out there who
do it. Tyreek Hill's not happy. Yeah, he's one of them. Course.
But, like, I don't see him coming out and making some outlandish statements. I know he's had a couple tough off seasons and things, so he needs to play it the right way.
Mm-hmm,
But, yeah, he's another guy who is capable of going for 1,600 every year and is not getting those opportunities right now.
BT and Sal in studio with Larry Fitzgerald. We'll bring you in today, Larry.
I'm here with DraftKings, and, you know, as you know, these games are always so much fun, and people like to have a good time, and betting is something that, you know, we all enjoy. And it's always important to remember that, you know, this is it's better when it's fun, you know, to be able to have a good time doing it, and, you know, just want to make sure people are being responsible with their place in their wagers.
Are there certain players that you will follow, whether it's a prop bet or just a game, wide receivers specifically, that you are a fan of around the league?
I'm much more of a over-under guy. I don't like to pull for any individuals. I like to just kind of just hope that, you know, like the Cowboys, let's score.
From a team perspective, like Dallas to score X amount of points or for the whole game?
On the whole game.
I like the over-unders too.
I just like to see if the people are scoring touchdowns and kick field goals from long distances is better for everybody. So that's kind of more my speed.
And by the way, how much has the kicking game changed the philosophies and the pressures of being a coach?
Yeah, I mean, you essentially, if you cross the 50-yard line, you can check 3 points.
It's a wrap.
I think it gives so much more versatility. It makes it much more difficult on defenses. I mean, you see this line, that red line that they have on the field lane.
The target line.
Yeah, you got to get to this line. That yard line keeps moving back every single year.
It does.
I mean, Brandon Aubrey hit a field goal. It was a couple weeks ago.
64, right?
64 to get to push the game. It's over. I mean, like,
the Steelers hit the 60-yarder to beat the Jets.
I mean, it's like these guys kick 60-yarders like it's just it's like just walking around the block now.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun.
It's not good for the game, though.
Great for the game.
No, why is it great?
Why is it not?
I'm going to tell you why. Because you got some 180-pound weakling and trotting out onto the field when guys have put their life on the line for 59 minutes, and this guy prances out, and he's going to decide who wins the game? Come on, man. There's no way. You got to feel me on that.
No, I don't. I think it's great, and I think it's good for offenses. But then you have plays that are dynamic, like last night. You see the Cowboys get that block PAT. essentially that cost the Packers that game last night. They get that PAT. The strategy in the fourth quarter changes a lot. And so, like, I just love the fact that special teams is being talked about. It's a huge component of the game, and the teams that take it seriously, you know, gives themselves like a real competitive advantage.
You have guys around the league that you like to watch. You know, Garrett Wilson here in New York, neighbors obviously pre-injury here, but are there guys around the league that are Larry Fitzgerald favorites?
Yeah, man. I will go to L.A. with the Chargers. Keenan Allen, I mean, he's having a late career resurgence. I love Mike Evans. I think he's the most underrated receiver in this generation. I mean, all the dude does is go out there and go for 1,000 every single year, and he's consistent. He's available. He does it with Tom Brady. He does it with Baker Mayfield. He does it with Jameis Winston. Whoever else is quarterback there for the last 12 years, he's gotten it done. I really love Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, I got a chance to have dinner with him 2 years ago, and to see him in terms of his stature.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 5'10 on a good day, 190 pounds. The guy plays like he's 6'4", 240 pounds, tough, durable, excitable, great blocker. He can beat you over the top. He can beat you intermediate. Like, he's just so versatile in what he does. So those are a few guys that I really enjoy.
What do you think is the most important characteristic of a wide receiver to be great?
Dependability. When I throw you the ball, you catch it.
That simple.
Where if the route is supposed to be 12 yards, yeah, and you're supposed to break out flat, you're doing what you – like a quarter. There's nothing more – reliable for a quarterback than a guy who does what he's asked to do. Mm-hmm. It's consistency.
Even more so than like intuition on what the corner might do or burst or operating in small spaces. I'm surprised. I mean, I believe you because you would know. I wouldn't. I'm surprised that that's your answer, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to be said about somebody who does what they're coached to do. I mean, it's a great thing. I remember when I was with Kurt Warner first, and you know, I was going up and catching these passes this certain way. He's like, Larry, that's not the way I play. I like the way Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt play.
Mm. Oh,
they're,
wow.
They're where they need to be when I need them to be there. There's dependability that I can count on, I can trust. It's like the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. Mm-hmm. I can count on that happening. And I need that dependability to trust you.
Wow.
And so, like, hearing that from Kurt and then Carson Palmer and other guys that I play with, like, the expectation of like, you expect your producers to be here every morning to have this thing ready for you guys to do your job.
Well, right? Actually, in our case, we don't. It's a matter of whenever he shows up. We're going to take things in one hand. No, just kidding. BT and Sally, yeah. Soon to talk about Larry Fitzgerald. You think you're a first ballot Hall of Famer?
You know, though, that's not in my control.
Come on,
you know,
stop. It's not
in my control. It really isn't. You know, I'm elated to be mentioned in the category with some of these players. This is, in my opinion, the greatest league in all the professional sports, and to be thought of with some of the greatest to ever do it is really humbling. Like, it's not a day that's gone by since it was announced that, you know, I just walk around and I'm just like, man, this is awesome.
I mean, you're on the short list for the best ever. You really are. I mean, that needs to be said. I know you're never going to say
it. You know
it,
how subjective these things are.
Well, not for me. It is a little bit with the stats. There's a little subjectivity.
The stats and where you played.
Yeah,
and
who you played with. What was your quarterback? Who I played with
and all of the things like that.
Did you win?
Yeah.
I know.
You take all of that into consideration.
Yeah. Look at this guy.
You 100% are in my Fantasy Football Hall of Fame, if that means anything to you. First ballot, won me a couple of championships. Although I am a little mad at you taking a shot at the Mets. Now, you played in Arizona. You grew up in Minnesota. What are you, a Twins fan? Diamondbacks?
I'm a Twins and Diamondbacks fan, for
sure.
Come
on!
Did you see the season we had last year?
Yeah, well, that was last year.
We got it done.
Mets had a
good. If we had that roster, you know what we would do in Arizona?
Come on.
In a much better division, too.
I can't come back at him on that. He might be right. With the Dodgers and Padres, they'd still win more than 83 games.
The Yankees owned the Twins for, like, what, 50 years?
Oh, we don't want to talk about that.
Justin Morneau, that was fun.
It's the curse of Chuck Knobloch.
So you're old enough. You watched Kirby growing up, obviously.
Man, Kirby
How old
was
are you
a,
now, by the
Kirby,
way?
I'm 42. Kirby was a great family friend. My dad's a journalist in the Twin Cities area, and we used to go eat dinner at Kirby's house over in Plymouth, and I saw Ken Herbeck at a Twins game not long ago. And
big first baseman. Ken can hit bombs.
Yeah, yeah.
Gary Gaetti over at third base,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, my brother dated Dan Glavin's daughter.
Wow.
You know, back in the day, Chili Davis. I whip him in golf all the time.
Chili.
Look at you.
Dave Winfield, you know, all the boys, man. I love my Twins. So before, this is why I knew Kirby Puckett. When I was a child, I knew Kirby was great, but what I didn't understand what made him great. And for a 7 o'clock game, Kirby would be out there at 11 in the morning. He would be catching fly balls. In the Metrodome, they had the white roof.
So yes.
When the ball would go up in the air, if you didn't track it off the bat, you would lose it in the ceiling.
I remember watching and games where that happened to the Yankees.
And he would practice it every single day before
at 11 in the morning?
11 in the morning. He would be taking fly balls.
Wow.
And I was like,
yeah.
It's 8 hours until first pitch. Yep. He's here doing this, and this is why he is. And so as a 10, 11-year-old, I'm thinking, if I want to be great, these are the type of things I need to implement for me to be able to do this one day.
I like it.
You were great, one of the greatest, no doubt about it, and I'm sure you'll be your first ballot Hall of Famer. He is the great Larry Fitzgerald. I thought we were going to take a break from the Mets this segment, but of course Larry had to get his jabs in. Of all people, I didn't think I was going to get jabbed by Larry Fitzgerald today about the Mets.
Larry, all you got to do is this. Now, lower your voice a little bit, right? Just lower it low and just go, Soto. Just do it for us.
Soto. Oh, Larry! Larry! All right, thank you so much, Larry, for your time. We appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Man, welcome to the NFL in 25 carries. Man, we don't do this anymore. You got a defense that has pass rushers that will get after your ass on every single play.
We saw the best of it yesterday.
Dude, it was unbelievable. And you got Shane Bowen finally playing some zone. Force, just give up that bench route. Give up that 8-yard out. Who cares? Make the tackle, right? And that's exactly what they did. They made it hard and challenging for one of the best offenses in the NFL to go make big plays after the catch. We'll concede, 6-7 yards, go make big plays after the catch. But by the way, we're going to get in your quarterback's face every single snap.
And we're going to force 2 turnovers and turn it into points.
Right.
Which is really the difference.
And this is the team that I think they've always wanted. It took them too long to get it.
Yeah, there's two negatives I take coming out of Sunday. Number one is the obvious, and let's just address it because we haven't yet. And that's what happened to Malik Nabers, who is done for the season.
That sucks.
It sucks for Malik. I mean, it sucks for him, number one. And obviously, his fans, it sucks even more.
Of course.
And I'll tell you, the other thing that kind of sucks is, with Malik Nabers on the field, Jackson Dart threw for 60 of his 110 yards. And that was in a quarter and a half.
Yep.
With Nabers off of the field, and I'll tell you a great example of where you lose Malik Nabers and it really, really sucks, when you throw a touchdown pass and it can't be held on to by Wandale Robinson.
Right. That ball was in his hand.
Dude, that's a catch.
Yeah.
That's a drop. That needs to be caught. That was a play by Jackson Dart. And so what I'm afraid of, not just next week, the week after, is, are we going to really see the best of Jackson Dart when you take away one of the better wide receivers in the sport? And here's the other thing, and this isn't hyperbolic to say, I think you guys would mostly agree with me, that wide receiving room without Malik Nabers is bottom five in the league. Mm. It may be the worst in the league.
Well, there's no threat.
Nothing.
There's no. Oh man, what are we doing with this guy? There's no. Oh, if we play cover man coverage, we got to make sure that safety is on top of this guy. There's none of that.
It's why, and correct me if I'm wrong. Obviously, I am not a Giant fan. I'm an IFO. Yesterday, if I'm a Giant fan, would have been such a mixed bag kind of day.
Of course.
I would have been so pumped about the win number
100%.
I'd have been pumped about the signs I saw from Jackson Dart. But you're losing Malik Nabers for the entire season to a torn ACL?
Right.
It's almost like you look at the football gods and say, are you serious, bro? are you really serious about this?
Yeah. I mean, I look at it because the NFL is and will always be a next man up business. One man's injury creates another man's opportunity. And we have been waiting for 3 years now for Jalin Hyatt to be anything. Like, I don't even have an opinion on him because I don't know what to judge him off of. Bo Collins, undrafted rookie from Notre Dame, We saw one humongous play in the preseason. I have no idea what to expect from him. But those guys are going to get opportunities. And so when you get an opportunity, what do you do with it? You just squander it away and let them replace you with somebody else? Or do you take it and run with it? So those guys got to step up. And I know it's easy to say that, and I hate when you say, hey, you got to step up and do something, because I can't control that. Only they can control that.
But,
so,
but it's true.
It's absolutely true. It's their opportunity. There is nobody on the waiver wire. There's no free agent sitting out there.
It'd be a little Jordan Humphrey off the practice squad.
Maybe. Probably.
He had some rapport with Dart in the preseason.
Almost definitely.
You guys interested now in Lazard?
No.
Would you want to?
No. Not at all. No. As much as I love Odell, no. Not him either.
Oh, wow.
So
I think he wrote the script on that yesterday when he ripped the Kill Life Field. What did he call it?
Death Life Stadium.
Death Life Stadium?
It's pretty funny. Not wrong about that.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later on, but you're right. Like, there's no one walking through that door.
No.
And that's just, it's unfortunate for, obviously, Leak, but it's unfortunate for Giant fans, and it's unfortunate in evaluating Jackson Dart.
Yep.
The other thing about Dart, and you kind of touched on this, so I am not saying anything that you wouldn't disagree with. He makes me a little nervous. He plays the game with a reckless abandon, which you have to love.
Right.
It's a toughness. It's a doggedness to it. But is that sustainable?
Right.
And I just don't know if that is.
It's exactly like Baker Mayfield used to play.
No, you're right.
He was just wild.
But can you stay on the field for every snap?
And that's the challenge.
So here's
what's happening right now with Jackson Dart. So game was yesterday. Was a little less than 24 hours. A little more than 20. It started, but it finished a little less than 24 hours ago. He is probably sore than he's ever been because he's got a little bit of a hamstring. He took some shots, some he delivered, and it's not playing against, I don't know, Vanderbilt, even though Vanderbilt's good this year. I'm not even, whoever, playing against Georgia, and 60% or 80% of those players are not NFL players. These are beasts.
They're big men.
Huge, huge, like, ill-intended defenders, and he took a lot of heat. And so he's sore today. There's no doubt about it. But you won, so it's good sore.
Oh, absolutely.
So as long as you are, it's hurting, are you hurt, are you injured? It's hurting, and you're not injured, you're good to go.
How long can that last, though? That's my worry. Not how he comes out of Sunday, but how he's going to come out of next Sunday.
I don't know. I mean, he's a stout kid, so he's put together. We met him. You saw him. He's a put-together kid. But part of his game, what makes him so exciting, is he can run.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
And you have to do it.
There was so many positive things about Jackson Dart, and I don't want to be right with what I'm about to say, and I'm not being negative or being a jerk. I'm being honest. I don't think he gets through the full season. Hmm. That would be my... And look, we kind of saw a preview of it when they pulled him out, even though it was because of the way he got up. Like,
That wasn't the Giants, though.
No, I know it's the league, but it's the league.
Right, right.
I just have a tough time seeing him get through the final, what are we up to, 13 games of the season? That's the way I look at it.
Okay. I mean, most quarterbacks don't. Most quarterbacks do miss a game or two. He's going to have to learn.
Oh, especially in this era. You're 1,000% right.
Lamar Jackson is hurt now.
Yeah. You're right. Look, I think in 2025, a quarterback getting through a full season is just less likely than it was 15 years ago. How excited are you?
I'm over the moon. I'm excited. Look, but I'm not going to overreact. You're right. There were a lot of rookie mistakes in there. But there was a moment yesterday in the shadow of their own end zone when he rolled out and used his hand to wave Darius Slayton to come back to football. I mean, that was it for me. I looked around at people with me and I said, we're allowed to do that? The quarterback on the Giants is allowed to make that kind of play?
Right.
And
to be aware enough to make that kind
of
play.
And then the idea, and they talked about it in the postgame, the improvising with Theo Johnson on that third down, just sit.
Right.
Oh, wait, we're allowed to throw the ball on third down to try to kill time at the end of the game? Those two moments were just... I mean, that told me everything I needed to know about Jackson Dart.
Right, of course. I mean, they were playing zone. And again, by the way that they play called this game, it forced the Chiefs' defense to be predictable. And it's something that Jesse Minter hasn't been so far this year in the three division wins that he had to start the season. They were predictable. They were just crushing them on the run game. And so they had to bring the weak side safety, who was Derwin James, they had to bring him. They had to just keep bringing him. And when you do that, you're going to get burned, so you got to play zone behind him. So it became so predictable, you knew how to call the play that was going to get you the first down.
So I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. You are now in love with Jackson Dart.
I'm tepidly in love, but I'm prepared that my heart broke, so I just want to see those plays out. Okay. I don't like Jackson Dart.
I'm sorry. What was that, Sean?
I don't like Jackson Dart. By the way, you go to the archive, you can find a lot of quarterbacks in the draft I didn't like, I was wrong about. I don't like Jackson Dart. Didn't like Josh Allen either.
Well, you wanted Cam Ward, and he is struggling.
Yeah, he's off to a rough start.
Jackson won before Cam Ward.
I know.
Bottom line is this. We know the next decade of football in New York's set now, and we're good to go.
There you go.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.